So, what's happening, everybody? Good morning. Welcome in. The seventh Monday in a row, we get to come in here and talk about another San Diego Padres loss. That's seven straight. Those Cats have not won on a Sunday. But we got a lot of other stuff to talk about as well. Good morning. Great to be back with you guys. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fans. Get our heads right on a Monday. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
And Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, and welcome to Ben and Wood's summer break.
Summer break is here.
It is here.
It doesn't.
You're just back from your
back from break.
Your break and vacation.
Yeah. What a vacation it was, indeed. I'm very well rested. Very well rested.
Interesting.
I've learned.
I wasn't sure.
I've learned something about myself. Happy to share. When I'm devoid of responsibility. Like, you know, family responsibilities.
Yeah. Taking care of the kids, chores.
I don't really like to do much at all. And the things that I plan usually end up falling by the wayside. They really do. Paulie knows this. I mean, how many, and you know this as well, Benny, when we go to spring training or fantasy camp, I just lock myself in my room and sleep. When I have the opportunity to rest, I take it. And I take it
it's true.
Hard. And that's kind of what I did. And I screwed the whole thing up. I really did. I did exactly what I thought I was going to do on my vacation. My buddy flew in from Texas, and we hit it pretty hard on Thursday night. Pretty hard. Went to see the Afghan Whigs at Observatory. And had a time of our lives. Ran into some Tier 1s out there. It was great. Had a ball. Band sounded great. Talked to my buddy, the guitar player. Got a horns from the stage, which was pretty cool. One of the cooler moments I've had. Got to chat with him after, from what I remember. And we just blew it out. Had a great time. Well, then we woke up way late on Friday. And I mean, like, we laid around. We were wounded. I mean, we were straight up wounded.
Now, way late for you is like 8 a.m.
No, this was like 11. And then, like,
Whoa, then
laid around.
And practically Saturday.
And you were supposed to go up to L.A. Yep. on Friday.
Correct. And well, we ended up doing that. But we didn't leave San Diego till like 2 o'clock. We were wounded. He was vomiting. Like, it was, we hit it hard. And as I knew I would, I just... It's been so long.
Where'd you hit in North Park?
We just hung out at the venue,
just
the Observatory.
The venue. Okay.
Yeah, and I checked my Uber. We made it back to the place where we were staying at like 10:45. You know, kept drinking a little bit. It was bad. When Dad gets a night out, Dad has a hard time, you know, leveling it out. So we blew it out. So we get in the car to drive to L.A. It was a 4 hour drive. Four.
You woke up at 11, so what time did you...
2.
On a Friday.
It was the dumbest thing we could have done.
Afternoon, Friday, traffic.
It was the worst...
4:05 up to Los Angeles, 4:05.
Yep, it was the worst experience of my life. That drive was the worst... It was the worst day of my life.
Hungover
just
in
dying.
Traffic,
yeah,
just, in Los Angeles.
Just was... We did not speak. We did not speak, except I would hear like a... from the other seat. So we get up there. He looked at me and he goes, I go, you know, we would have to shower and get back in the car to go to Anaheim.
Turn right around to go back to the second Afghan week show.
Like 6:30.
Yeah. Yeah. And he goes, I mean, I go, dude, yeah, I'm cool if you're cool. He goes, I'm cool. We ordered pizza. We ate pizza. We went to sleep. We woke up the next day. Still not feeling great at all. Like, just still. Man. This place had a pool. We laid by the pool. We had a great time. About 5 o'clock hits. I was like, you want to start like thinking about getting ready? Let me pull up the venue on my phone. It was 52 minutes from our house in L.A. It was 7 miles, 52 minutes.
Saturday. Third show.
Yeah.
Didn't make it.
No.
1 for 3.
1 for 3. Hey.
Hey.
Get you in the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
Now, I've realized something. I realized something else about myself. I'm fine footing the bill because I don't have to fall in line for anybody. And if I'm... I realize, like, some people are like, Woodsy, you're pretty generous. I'm like, actually, I'm selfish. I do it so that I don't have to answer to anyone. So I ended up selling the tickets on Saturday online. Thank God. Got some of my money back. But, yeah, man, we chilled and relaxed. And then... I was planning on waking up, taking them to the
Did
airport.
Did you go anywhere on Saturday?
Yeah, we went to the pool. Just hung
it's
out. We went to breakfast.
Okay. Yeah. You went somewhere.
Went to breakfast.
You left at one point weekend.
I'm telling you. Yeah. I drove up to L.A. to nap, is what I did.
What did you like, DoorDash for dinner?
Yeah, yeah. 100%. Yeah. Yes. So, I will tell you this. It was the most comfortable house I've ever stayed in. It was the most comfortable bed that I've ever slept in my entire life. But yeah, I drove up to L.A. to nap, basically, for 2 days. Oh. But I had a great time.
But you're right. There's nothing wrong with doing that for a weekend. Great place to stay.
Right.
Pool. Relaxed.
Hot tub.
Comfortable.
Yeah.
If you just hadn't had all those other plans, it would have felt perfect.
And you know what? It still felt perfect. Now, I woke up yesterday morning, and the guy that was going to drive Bo to his baseball game at noon, his kid was sick. And I called home at like 7 in the morning, and Hannah's like, Bo's crying. He doesn't get to play. I go, say no more. So I took care of an Uber for my buddy, got him dialed in at like 11, because I was going to have to wait around and take him to the airport. Got him dialed with an Uber. And I said, I'm on my way home. I made it home in 1 hour and 20 minutes. One hour and 20 minutes. And took Bo to his game, had a great day.
It was a third the amount of time it took you to get there.
Bro, it was incredible. But while I was there, man, like, I woke up to a nap. I woke up from a nap, one of my many, many naps, and saw the news that had happened over the weekend. And was my mind was just blown. I just couldn't believe what I had seen. And, of course, you guys know I'm talking about the assassination attempt that went down on Saturday. And I couldn't wrap my head around it. I really couldn't, because I started thinking, well, when was the last time we've seen this? Now, Ben and I were same age, same grade and everything. And it was when President Reagan, when they tried to shoot him. I remember that a little bit from when I was a kid, but I hadn't seen anything like this. And of course, obviously, it turns the heat up in our country, which is probably the last thing that our country needed right now. You know, listen, nobody comes here to get political talks. We're not going to be political, but it was a jarring scene.
You can't not even acknowledge.
Oh yeah, no, because I mean, it was shocking.
Until I saw somebody say something along the same lines, like, oh, first assassination attempt since, you know, 1981 or whatever it was, I go, huh. Yeah, it felt like that was the first one I've ever experienced in my 33 years of life. But to let it, like, really sink in, you're like, wow, that was history.
It was jarring. Yeah, very, very jarring type situation. And then, I mean, it was that, and it was all these people dying over the weekend, too, of like, celebrities and stuff. I mean, it was a real jarring thing. But I get the thing. It's called, have you guys heard of this before? It's called hangxiety.
Hangxiety.
No one gets it worse than me. I'm already an anxious person to where I worry a lot about things that are that I can't control. I just do that. And I plan things out in my head. It's a bad way to live. But when you have a few cocktails and you wake up hungover, which I did, full admittedly, like I way overserved myself on Thursday night. I don't like to do that anymore. The hangxiety is the worst thing ever for me. And everything is just times 10. You don't get that because you don't really drink a lot.
No,
I don't drink a lot. You know that. I never drink.
I know when you're hungover, you have a tendency to feel a little more like raw. Everything
yes.
feels like nails on a chalkboard.
Yep.
So I can imagine that anxiety would be the same.
Carlos is laughing at me. 2 day recovery. Bro, I mean, it's been like four, so it's more like a 4 day recovery. But yeah, it was, I had, you know, at the end of the day, I had a great time. And, but nothing I ever planned goes to plan. Like I said, I have it in my head how I want it to go, and it's never even clean about it. It's one of the things I'm working on, you know, personally, is that I can't control these things. I just need to just let the game come to me a little bit. But how was your guys' this weekend?
I was working all weekend, like usual, filling in at Channel 10 on Saturday, which did allow me to see the you know, coverage apparatus jump into full.
You're at the news.
I was pulling into the parking lot.
Of the news.
Of the news when the news broke. And, of course, everyone jumps to it. People are showing up that aren't there on the weekend. Kimberly Hunt comes in. We have Jim Avila, who used to cover the White House, is one of our reporters. Now, he was co-anchoring that day and network coverage, jumping to that as well. So do get to see things get very busy around a television station when there's major breaking news.
It's pretty wild.
I saw the Padres were playing on Fox nationally.
Yeah.
against Atlanta on Saturday afternoon. 4:15, I think, was
correct.
The first pitch. So, what, an hour after all
yeah,
of this?
Yeah, most networks were in full coverage, but they did stick with the game.
There was another national game on Fox as well. I don't remember who it was. Maybe the Giants were playing. But they, like some markets, you lost the baseball game.
Fox cut it from the middle
of the baseball game because, you know, it's not in the market that they're being played. And they went straight to news coverage.
Yeah, and I was, you know, I didn't watch the game on Thursday night at all. And then watched a little bit of Friday.
There was no game on Thursday.
I'm sorry, the game on Friday night. I did not watch that at all. I was asleep by like 7. So, and then Saturday, I watched a little bit of that game yesterday when I got home. And, of course, watched the entire game yesterday. And you know, obviously didn't miss much in Padres land. And we'll talk about those games this weekend. And it is our summer break. You know, we're going to be a little bit more loose as the week goes on. You know, but I will say this, man. Yeah, just try to be nice to each other. You know, it's such a volatile time. I'm just going to try to be nicer to everyone except for Ben. But I mean, I'm just like, I'm still going to pick on Ben. But I do think we should, you know, really work on being kinder to each other and listening maybe to each other's perspectives.
It's always a noble goal.
It's a noble goal. We rarely get there. You know, we rarely do. I think, you know, whoever you like and whoever you root for and whatever side you're on, it really doesn't matter to me. I just want to try to be a good person. And, you know, for me, it always, I was just talking to guys down the hall about it. And it's a weird, it's kind of a weird responsibility when you have this microphone, this platform. But, you know, for me, I just want to try to keep my side of the street as clean as possible. You know, and that's my house, my family, my neighborhood, you know, and, I don't want to get into any beefs with anybody about dumb stuff, you know, and so try to be nice to each other as we go. Try to be respectful of each other. And that's really all you can ask.
All right. Let's leave it there. And then we'll come back. We will set the menu, which will look somewhat the same on a Monday, even though it's summer break, since we do have a weekend of games to talk about. But also going to try to have some extra fun this week as we hit the middle of the summer and the All-Star breaks. We'll come back, do that, check traffic here first with Kelly Danick. And it's good to have everybody back here together in studio on a Monday with Ben and Woods right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Do you guys get the sense that as the week goes on, it'll get more summery, more summer breaky?
Yeah, I think so. I hope so.
I was thinking that driving in this morning. You know, it'll get the you know, because we got games to talk about, we have the team to talk about, we have the draft and everything else. But as the week continues, we'll get to a little more summer breaky each day.
Yeah. I had a request, but this would require more work for Ben.
Thanks.
I had a request from a couple of guys on the Tier 1 baseball team yesterday. 2-0, by the way.
By the way.
Nice 16-5 victory. Can we do the Tier 1 wrap-up on Mondays since we win on Sundays?
Yeah, we always
win. But we need the highlights
Sundays
to play for a Tier 1 wrap-up. So I need Ben to come out and do play-by-play for all
God,
of our
don't
games.
Don't make him do on a Sunday. Drag his ass out to Mission Hills High School or something. And Tyler Phillips with another double off the wall. Like, no. You don't have
see, Sunday's up already a work day for me.
Correct.
And yeah, yesterday I did actually get out early, and I do want to thank the Emo Brown podcast, Caesar and Steve, for inviting me down to the new Epic Tasting Room right next to Petco Park.
Yep.
Was that stone one right next to the park at the park, Gallagher Square. You can see the Little League T-ball field right from the patio there, and got to spend some time with those guys and talking about our show and talking about the Padres a little bit and rehashing the time I nearly got run over on live television. Everyone always loves that story.
They do a fun podcast. I've done it a couple times. It's wheels off in there. Now, they get me to tell stories. I'm like, oh, that guy driving home going, did I really tell that story? They get me every time. They're really good.
They're very loose.
They're very loose.
Very loose. Yeah, in a good way, though.
Yeah.
In a good way.
And, yeah.
They had all done a mass bike ride from the South Bay to Petco Park.
Bro,
and then
they put their money where their mouth is, man. They do a lot for their community. I really, really appreciate all the work that they do, and they're just great people, too.
Now, they wanted all of us to come in, but you were on your vacation.
Well, I was
coming back from
LA. I was coming home and doing baseball
stuff.
And
Paulie had his Tier 1 game that he was in charge of managing.
He managed our game yesterday.
But I did commit at some point with all three of us are going to go and do it together with them.
I'll do it. I'll do it. Absolutely.
But that was fun, and it was enjoyable. Now, what does summer break mean for the Ben and Woods program? We don't entirely know.
Right.
We're kind of winging it as we go this week. What it does mean is we give our weekly guests a week off. So, like today, usually you hear from Sam Levitt. No, we're letting Sammy have the day off, the All-Star break, to recharge his batteries, refresh. The same will happen with Jesse tomorrow, Adam Jones, Brett Boone on Wednesday, Eno Saris on Thursday. Everybody gets a little break at the All-Star break.
I posted on Instagram yesterday. I said, let's get ready for a week of no baseball.
Yep.
Pretty much no direction.
Yep.
And maybe a little bit of debauchery. Who knows?
Yes, 100%.
Yes, and we will figure that out kind of as we go. Today, though, as you mentioned, we will go through the weekend of games, Padres and Braves wrapping up the first half of the season. And just some initial thoughts before we jump into the games. It was not a good homestand, obviously, for the Padres.
Nope.
2-6. Mm. They fell out of one of the three wild card spots. They now go into the All-Star break. One game behind the New York Mets and in a virtual tie with the Arizona Diamondbacks, both at one game above 500, game and a half behind the Cardinals. However, I will, as always, try to be the voice of calm and reason here as we hit the All-Star break with, 63 games left in the season. And I don't think anything fundamentally changed over this last week. It was always true that in the second half of the season, to make the playoffs, the Padres were going to have to play well. And if they didn't play well, they weren't going to make the playoffs. Had the Padres gone 4-4 on their homestand, 5-3, whatever, that still would have been true going into the second half. You're not going to make the playoffs playing poorly over these last, 2-plus months. But you will if you play well. They're certainly close enough. They're a game back. They're above 500. That if they have a solid finish to the season, there's a path to the playoffs remaining for the San Diego Padres. They're not so far buried like they were last year that they have to play out of their minds to catch up with anybody. But they were never getting to the point where, hey, we're so far ahead, we can withstand a bad second half and still back our way into the postseason. That wasn't happening either. It still isn't. So bad homestand, 2-6 for the San Diego Padres, but the season in my mind fundamentally remains the same. Whether you're in by a game or two or out by a game or two, you got to play well over these last couple of months.
Well, what a crap homestand like that does do, and I've already seen, people talking about it. What are we going to do in the next couple of weeks, right? And how important are these games coming out of the break to decide what you're going to be, what you're going to do, what your move is going to do?
Bro, we're one bad road trip away from, I don't want to say becoming sellers,
correct,
but certainly not being buyers.
That's what I'm talking about, is this, oh boy, what are you going to do? What are you going to be? What's the plan of action? It's weird to go into this if you're AJ Preller. Look, they have plans for plans. They have contingencies for contingencies. Every team does. That's semi in the hunt right now. But man, you got to start looking at, if you come out of the break and you don't play well, you do have to start looking at what can we do to improve this team for next year and the year after that potentially. What pieces do we have? I don't want to do that. I don't want to get there. I'm a guy that's been on the horse of, I believe I've seen enough magic from this team at times to think that they deserve a run. But man, if it's not in the cards, are we going to try to force it again? And that's the scary part for me about where we are as Padre fans.
But we were there a week ago. If you didn't think the Padres were there a week ago before this homestand, you were kind of deluding yourself into thinking that this team was something that it was not. As I said, you're going to have to play well in the second half. That includes the first road trip of the second half, which will be a tough road trip to Cleveland and Washington and Baltimore to start the second half. Yeah, if they go 1-8, they can bury themselves pretty quickly at this point. So, yeah, it remains true. They will have to play well in the second half of the season. But again, don't think that was ever not true. I don't think the Padres were ever at a point, even when they were at six games above 500, that they could say, yeah, we can pretty much cruise the rest of the way now. We don't have to play good baseball the last couple of months. We'll be in the playoffs, no problem. And then we'll turn it up in October when we get there. No, that was never even a realistic talking point for the 2024 San Diego Padres.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right, man, but it's just the confluence of events here with a GM that, you know, a lot of people think if he doesn't make the playoffs, he's out of a job. I still don't believe that. I know that he's got years left on his contract. What, he's got 2 years left after this one? I don't see them getting rid of A.J. Preller if he doesn't make the playoffs. I'm not saying that that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that that's my gut feeling. You know, what desperate times call for desperate measures? How desperate are we going to get? You know, and that's what I want to know. And that's none of us really know that yet. So we can talk about that. We can take your calls about that as well. I know that there are people out there going, I haven't seen enough. Let's get rid of the Dylan Ceases of the world. Let's get rid of the Michael Kings, the guys we only have for another year. Let's get rid of Ha-Sung Kim. Let's retool like so many teams do. But man, do we trust? Do we trust that you're going to get, if you did that, if you said, our guys, we're throwing in, we're waving the white flag, we surrendered this year, you going to get back enough to make it worthwhile? Is the right guy running that, you know, that plan as well? So it's just, there's a whole lot of, anxiety about it that I have.
Now, we do have one guest coming up later. Interesting character will be joining us at 8:35. Today, of course, is the Home Run Derby in Arlington, Texas, as part of the All-Star festivities. And we're going to be joined by a guy who's been around the Padres organization in the past. Ray Crone is his name.
The GOAT.
And he is known around baseball, and especially here in San Diego, for one unique skill.
Uh-huh.
That makes him a nightmare. No, he is the best batting practice pitcher
ever
that pretty much has ever lived. And he's thrown in the Home Run Derby before,
yep,
to Adrian Gonzalez. He has thrown to Padres batters behind the scenes and early in the day for many years. And they all just swear that this is the best that has ever lived when it comes to batting practice pitching.
You know, a lot of sports shows would get maybe a former participant of the Home Run, which we had. We had last week.
Brett Boone
was great. We can replay that story if you want. Not us. We want the guy that actually has to throw the pitches. I want to know what it's like inside that dome throwing to, who'd he throw to?
Adrian Gonzalez
in the Home Run Derby.
Maybe we can find a kid that played in the outfield for a Home Run Derby. Interview them.
Any of those kids. There's always that one kid that gets smoked.
Somebody just wears
it. Yeah, they just wear it.
One quick All-Star note. Luis Arraez did announce yesterday that he will not be playing in the All-Star game tomorrow to get his thumb some more rest. He's been playing with that jammed thumb for about a month now, ever since he slid into third base. So he and Tatis, who isn't even going as he continues to rest his stress reaction, will not play. Padres will still have three participants in the game in Jackson Merrill, Robert Suarez, and Jurickson Profar. And I thought this stat was pretty amazing, and I just saw this morning in the UT newsletter. There are also 10 former Padres.
I saw that, yeah.
In the game.
Wow.
10.
10.
You want to hear the list?
Yeah.
Emmanuel Clase,
yep.
Max Fried, Trey Turner, Josh Naylor, Andres Munoz, Kirby Yates, Seth Lugo, Juan Soto, C.J. Abrams, Matt Strom.
That is absolutely
10.
Staggering.
Out of what, 60-something All-Stars?
Yeah.
Like, so if you include the current Padres, it's like a quarter of All-Stars have passed through during A.J. Preller's tenure here as general manager of the Padres.
Kind of makes my head hurt a little
bit.
Is that
good or bad?
I can't tell if that's good or
know.
Bad. I think if you're A.J., you're like, see? But then if you're a Padres fan, you're like, see? We had all these guys. God, we could put together a hell of an all-star team.
The picture of Jurickson and his son in matching
priceless
clothes yesterday.
Heading off to Arlington.
Bus. Yeah. I imagine they take the team jet. All the All-Stars do, to Dallas.
Well, unless you're Mason Miller, and then you have to fly on the Phillies jet because, well, you pitch for the A's.
Right.
They wanted to put you on an Amtrak, and you didn't want to do that.
All right, let's take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll have our, what is it, sixth, seventh straight losing Monday Padres wrap-up. 7 Mondays in a row where we haven't gotten to talk about a victory. I had a scary thought, and I'll share it with you when we come back with our Padres wrap-up with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station. Summer break on 97.3 The Fan. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. From a healthier weight to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. So here's the scary thought I had as we head into our Padres wrap-up. It's a shame if they lose. Did you guys know?
It's a shame if they lose.
That the last time that we had a winning Padres wrap up, because we were off, remember, July 4th and 5th. Didn't have one last week because they did not have a win on a Sunday through Thursday during the homestand, because those are the days we would play the following morning a winning Padres wrap up. So the last time we played a winning Padres wrap up was after the Wednesday, June 26th win over the Washington Nationals. So Thursday, June 27th was our last winning Padres wrap up. Now we won't have another one for at least another week. And that's only if they win next Sunday in Cleveland, which they never do.
It's a Sunday, so.
So at the very least, we're going to go 24 days or more between winning Padres wrap-ups on the Ben and Woods program in the morning.
It's actually staggering. To be covering a team that's technically still in it. Yeah, they're still in it.
They're over 500, and we're going to go 24 days without talking about a win on this show.
If we're White Sox radio, like, okay, I get it, right? Marlins radio, I get it. This is not normal, guys. This is not normal. Oh, my Lord. Well, take it away.
So here comes another losing Padres wrap-up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino, fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
First pitch, swinging, and a liner into center field. Kelnick charging, has to play it on a hop. Solano waited to see, but he'll come in and score without a play. An RBI single for Bogarts. Three straight Padre hits, and a 1-0 lead in the first. First pitch, swinging, ground ball, base hit into left for Olson. Albies rounding third, he's going to score. Matt Olson with his first hit of the series, an RBI single here in the fourth inning, and we got ourselves a 1-1 game. 1-0, Duvall lines it into left field. That's a base hit. That'll give the Braves the lead as Darno trots home. So the Bravos manufacture a run here in the fifth. They lead for the first time since Friday night. It's 2-1. Darno's swing sends it in the air to left center field. Merrill's back. He's still going back at the wall. This one gonna go into the bullpen. A three-run homer for Travis Darno. And all of a sudden, the Brave lead is 5-1. Him at second, two down. 3-2. Here's the pitch. Campisano swings, hits it in the air to deep right. Duvall is back at the track. Looks up, gonna go! Two-run pinch hit homer for Luis Campisano. Don't go anywhere. This is a 5-3 game in the bottom of the seventh inning. Here's the 2-1 to Darno. Swung on, hit in the air to deep center field. Merrill's back to watch. This one gonna go. Second of the day for Darno. And for the second time, he puts it into the bullpen. 6-3 Atlanta here in the eighth inning. 3-2, swung on, lined into right field. Charged by Duvall on the run. He gets there to make the catch. And the ball game is over. Iglesias, a 1-2-3 bottom of the ninth. The Braves come to town, take 2 out of 3. And the Padres will go into the break one game above 500 at 50-49.
I mean, we took good at-bats today, the whole nine innings. You said good at-bats early on. Solano gets it started. Manny, great approach, drives it. Solano gets it third. Bogey gets him in. We got something going. And Kimmy has a really good at-bat, squares one up. Raleigh, really good player, makes diving play to his left, takes two runs off the board. But it was, nip and tuck, and again, like eighth inning, great at-bats too. Good pitcher in Jimenez, and put three good swings on him, all found the warning track, but not enough distance to make a difference.
That really was probably the key at-bat of the game against Chris Sale, who is the most vulnerable in the first inning. Been fantastic this year. With 13 wins, has had a bounce-back season.
All-star, the whole bit.
All-star. Yep. And this was always going to be a tough matchup against a lefty. He'd already dominated the Padres earlier this year. So you knew it was going to be a tough one. But the inning you can get Chris Sale is the first, and the Padres did. You heard it. Three straight hits, and they had runners at second and third with two outs when Ha-Sung Kim looks like he has an absolute liner base hit between third and short that's going to score two runs. And Austin Riley comes up with a play that we see sometimes here in San Diego with Manny Machado, but a gold glove, hang a star, saves two runs, and maybe the game at that point, because you get up 3-0. It's a completely different ball game at that point. And Randy Vasquez wasn't bad.
No, you know, he's been good.
Innings, two runs. You can't complain too much. How the runs scored bothered me a little bit in that both times he completely lost track of a runner at first.
Yeah, terrible.
A first pitch steal, and then the second time even worse, forgetting the guy was there entirely and pitched out of the windup, allowing Darnell, who's not a fast runner, to steal second and get into scoring position.
Scores.
That can't happen, but you know, other than that, Randy Vasquez was actually just what you'd hope he would be with his five innings, two runs, but because you know, Sale then settled in and did what Sale does, Padres were playing from behind the whole game, and you know, the bullpen, once again, that unpredictable, you know, Kolek, who hadn't given up a run since June, gives up the three-run home run to Darnell. Everyone's a ticking time bomb down there right now, and it is a real problem for the Padres.
Yeah, we reached the point of the discourse yesterday was, why is he taking Randy Vasquez out? I mean, and he was throwing well.
But you felt good about Kolek. You felt so well.
I know. It's just one of those things, man. It's just one of those things. I did not think we would get to the point of the season where it's let Vasquez go another inning, you know, and he had pitched really well, Ben. He's been better than we kind of expected as of late. So, just a bummer of a loss. And yeah, they got really close. They got really, really close to the end, guys. Like he said, he recaps it for us real well. They squared some balls up, just did not get out of the yard, and sucks, man. Dropping 2-3 to that team, when you needed to win that series. It's a bummer. Look, I'm glad they have a rest. They earned a rest. They've played hard. They really have played hard this year. They have earned every second of this rest, and I hope they recharge and come out ready to roll for the second half. But, yeah, the offense is scuffling. I mean, it's Chris Sale. Chris Sale's a nasty pitcher, and you had him on the ropes. You tip your hat to a great play by Austin Riley, but you got to figure out a way to win two of those three games.
And you got him out after five innings. You know, you got the home run by Campusano against the bullpen, and it's good to see. They're going to need Campy to get going a little bit. You know, Kyle Higashioka is not going to remain on insane heater.
Well, he didn't have a good series
for the rest of the year, so they're going to need Campy to get going. So that was a good sign. Xander Bogaerts came back and played two of the three games and looked like decent, like swing, like he's going to come back and hopefully be productive. That was a positive.
500 in the series,
and you had to really enjoy the story of Sean Reynolds making his major league debut with a scoreless inning, three strikeouts yesterday. They talked to his family during the broadcast. A converted position player who just couldn't hit in the minor leagues, and they turned him into a pitcher in the Miami Marlins organization. Padres kind of had him as a throw-in in the Ryan Weathers, Garrett Cooper trade from last year. Stashed him in the minors, had struggled mostly at AAA, but got hot lately. Obviously has an opportunity with the Padres bullpen in somewhat the shambles that it's been, and comes up and gets the job done. Obviously not a high leverage situation, but a confidence builder for Sean Reynolds, and showed, like most of those guys that come up, some nasty stuff that he certainly has, you know, fastball, slider, you know, got some swings and misses from some good hitters in that Braves lineup.
We got him in which trade?
I think it was the Ryan Weathers for Garrett Cooper and Sean Reynolds trade.
Okay, so I remember when it happened, I texted Skip Schumacher, and I asked Skip about Sean and what he was like. He's like, you guys will love him. I mean, he throws hard as hell. Like, he just gasses it up there. He's huge. And then when he got into the Padres system, I remember following him for a while, and it was erratic. It was erratic as all get out. And I just thought, oh boy, all right, another one that can't seem to find it. So knowing that I had gotten a good report about him a couple years ago or whatever, Ben, or a year ago, came out and looked really good. My initial thought was, are we sure we want him? Does he throw too hard for typically the guy that AJ Preller likes? We don't have a lot of the real high velo guys. I mean, Suarez, yes, Estrada. We're kind of gravitating towards that now, but before it's like we bring a guy up, he sits 93, 94. And I liked what I saw from him yesterday. And by all accounts, good kid, hard worker. You know, I hate to say it, but the bulldog mentality, like wants the ball, wants to go out and throw strikes. So yeah, good to see. And hopefully, you know, he showed enough that they'll keep him around.
Ultimately, you know, the Padres hit the All-Star break probably at a good time. You know, you'd rather have them playing well, but of course, if you're playing well, then that's the last time you want to take 4 days off and not play baseball. Padres are beat up. You know, this is 4 days where guys who have been playing can take some time off, try to get a little bit healthier, hopefully get a little bit closer toward the return of some of their starting pitching, including Joe Musgrove, who threw a bullpen session, is going to throw another one with, you know, full velo coming up here. It's, you know, he's not going to be back until at least August, but continues to take progressions and steps towards returning. And hopefully when the Padres do come back, they'll be at least a little bit closer to being, you know, never going to be at full health, obviously, the rest of the season. But the best way they're going to have a good second half is to get some of these key contributors back. Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to have an MRI during the All-Star break to see how his healing has gone. And if that goes well, he might start, you know, a little more on the rehab process toward returning as well. So
I'd say that would be a pretty big
add. That would be a big get in the second half of the season, regardless of what the Padres do at the trading deadline.
Where are we at again with season series against Atlanta?
They did win the season series. Okay, yeah, can talk about Saturday's game coming up, but with the just the one win, they went 4-3 against the Atlanta Braves. Did win the season series, and while you say, well, it doesn't matter if you're not in a playoff spot, they're only four and a half games behind the Braves. So,
yeah,
you know, at the end, they could end up in a tie with the Braves, and then the tie would go to the San Diego Padres if it comes down to a playoff spot or playoff seeding. So that was a check mark that the Padres got this weekend in taking the season series. And they did clinch at the very bare minimum a winning record at the All-Star break at 50.
Whew.
And 49,
it
which
just,
feels like where they should be.
Yeah, it was just too perfect. I mean, 50 and 49 was about, it just feels perfect for this team as we've covered them for every pitch this season. That's exactly how it feels that it should be. Not five games over. That's when I got really excited when we were.
You got six at one point.
Six games over. I was, all right, things are looking up. Then you.
This hour, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. From a healthier weight to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. So here's the scary thought I had as we head into our Padres wrap-up. It's a shame if they lose. Did you guys know
it's a shame if they lose
that the last time that we had a winning Padres wrap-up, because we were off, remember, July 4th and 5th, didn't have one last week because they did not have a win on a Sunday through Thursday during the homestand, because those are the days we would play the following morning a winning Padres wrap-up. So the last time we played a winning Padres wrap-up was after the Wednesday, June 26th win over the Washington Nationals. So Thursday, June 27th was our last winning Padres wrap-up. Now we won't have another one for at least another week. And that's only if they win next Sunday in Cleveland, which they never do.
It's a Sunday, so.
So at the very least, we're going to go 24 days or more between winning Padres wrap-ups on the Ben and Woods program in the morning.
It's actually staggering. To be covering a team that's technically
over
still
500.
In it. Yeah, they're still in
They're over 500, and we're going to go 24 days without talking about a win on this show.
If we're White Sox radio, like, okay, I get it, right? Marlins radio, I get it. This is not normal, guys. This is not normal. Oh, my Lord. Well, take it away.
So here comes another losing Padres wrap-up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino, fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
First pitch swinging and a liner into center field. Kelnick charging, has to play it on a hop. Solano waited to see, but he'll come in and score without a play. An RBI single for Bogarts. Three straight Padre hits and a 1-0 lead in the first. First pitch swinging, ground ball base hit into left for Olson. Albies rounding third, he's going to score. Matt Olson with his first hit of the series, an RBI single here in the fourth inning, and we got ourselves a 1-1 game. 1-0, Duvall lines it into left field, that's a base hit. That'll give the Braves the lead as Darnold trots home. So the Bravos manufacture a run here in the fifth. They lead for the first time since Friday night. It's 2-1. Darnold swings, sends it in the air to left center field. Merrill's back. He's still going back at the wall. This one gonna go into the bullpen. A three-run homer for Travis Darnold. And all of a sudden, the Brave lead is 5-1. Him at second, two down, 3-2. Here's the pitch. Campusano swings, hits it in the air to deep right. Duvall is back at the track, looks up, gonna go! Two-run pinch hit homer for Luis Campusano. Don't go anywhere. This is a 5-3 game in the bottom of the seventh inning. Here's the 2-1 to Darnold. Swung on, hit in the air to deep center field. Merrill's back to watch. This one gonna go. Second of the day for Darnold. And for the second time, he puts it into the bullpen. 6-3 Atlanta here in the eighth inning. 3-2, swung on, lined into right field. Charged by Duvall on the run. He gets there to make the catch. And the ball game is over. Iglesias, a 1-2-3 bottom of the ninth. The Braves come to town, take 2 out of 3. And the Padres will go into the break one game above 500 at 50-49.
I mean, we took good at-bats today, whole nine innings. You said good at-bats early on. You know, Solano gets it started. Manny, great approach, drives it. Solano gets it third. Bogey gets him in. You know, we got something going. You know, Kimmy has really good at bat, squares one up. Raleigh, really good player, makes diving play to his left, takes two runs off the board. But it was, you know, nip and tuck. And again, like eighth inning, great at bats too. You know, good pitcher in Jimenez. And put three good swings on him, all found the warning track, but not enough distance to make a difference.
You know, that really was probably the key at bat of the game against Chris Sale, who is the most vulnerable in the first inning. Been fantastic this year. With 13 wins, has had a bounce back season.
All-star, the whole bit.
All-star. Yep. And this was always going to be a tough matchup against a lefty. He'd already dominated the Padres earlier this year. So you knew it was going to be a tough one. But the inning you can get Chris Sale is the first, and the Padres did. You heard it. Three straight hits, and they had runners at second and third with two outs when Ha-Sung Kim looks like he has an absolute liner base hit between third and short that's going to score two runs. And Austin Riley comes up with a play that we see sometimes here in San Diego with Manny Machado, but a gold glove, hang a star, saves two runs, and maybe the game at that point, because you get up 3-0. It's a completely different ball game at that point. And Randy Vasquez wasn't bad.
No, you know, he's been
five
good.
Innings, two runs. You can't complain too much. How the run scored bothered me a little bit in that both times he completely lost track of a runner at first.
Yeah, terrible.
A first pitch steal, and then the second time even worse, forgetting the guy was there entirely and pitched out of the windup, allowing Darnold, who's not a fast runner, to steal second and get into scoring position.
Scores.
That can't happen, but you know, other than that, Randy Vasquez was actually just what you'd hope he would be with his five innings, two runs, but because you know, Sale then settled in and did what Sale does, Padres were playing from behind the whole game, and you know, the bullpen, once again, that unpredictable, you know, Kolek, who hadn't given up a run since June, gives up the three-run home run to Darnold. Everyone's a ticking time bomb down there right now, and it is a real problem for the Padres.
Yeah, we reached the point of the discourse yesterday was, why is he taking Randy Vasquez out? I mean, and he was throwing well.
But you felt good about Kolek.
You felt so well. I know. It's just one of those things, man. It's just one of those things. I did not think we would get to the point of the season where it's let Vasquez go another inning, you know, and he had pitched really well, Ben. He's been better than we kind of expected as of late. So, yeah, just a bummer of a loss. And yeah, they got really close. They got really, really close to the end, guys. Like he said, he recaps it for us real well. They squared some balls up, just did not get out of the yard, and sucks, man. Dropping 2 of 3 to that team, when you needed to win that series. It's a bummer. Look, I'm glad they have a rest. They earned a rest. They've played hard. They really have played hard this year. They have earned every second of this rest, and I hope they recharge and come out ready to roll for the second half. But, yeah, the offense is scuffling. I mean, it's Chris Sale. Chris Sale's a nasty pitcher, and you had him on the ropes. You tip your hat to a great play by Austin Riley, but you got to figure out a way to win two of those three games.
And you got him out after five innings. You know, you got the home run by Campusano against the bullpen, and it's good to see. They're going to need Campy to get going a little bit. You know, Kyle Higashioka is not going to remain on insane heater.
Well, he didn't have a good series
for the rest of the year, so they're going to need Campy to get going. So that was a good sign. Xander Bogaerts came back and played two of the three games and looked like decent, like swing, like he's going to come back and hopefully be productive. That was a positive.
500 in the series,
and you had to really enjoy the story of Sean Reynolds making his major league debut with a scoreless inning, three strikeouts yesterday. They talked to his family during the broadcast. A converted position player who just couldn't hit in the minor leagues, and they turned him into a pitcher in the Miami Marlins organization. Padres kind of had him as a throw-in in the Ryan Weathers, Garrett Cooper trade from last year. Stashed him in the minors, had struggled mostly at AAA, but got hot lately. Obviously has an opportunity with the Padres bullpen in somewhat the shambles that it's been, and comes up and gets the job done. Not, obviously not a high leverage situation, but a confidence builder for Sean Reynolds, and showed, like most of those guys that come up, some nasty stuff that he certainly has, you know, fastball, slider, you know, got some swings and misses from some good hitters in that Braves lineup.
We got him in which trade?
That was, I think it was the Ryan Weathers for Garrett Cooper and Sean Reynolds trade.
Okay, so I remember when it happened, I texted Skip Schumacher, and I asked Skip about Sean and what he was like. He's like, you guys will love him. I mean, he throws hard as hell. Like, he just gasses it up there. He's huge. And then when he got into the Padres system, I remember following him for a while, and it was erratic. It was erratic as all get out. And I just thought, oh, boy, all right, another one that can't seem to find it. So knowing that I had gotten a good report about him a couple years ago or whatever, Ben, or a year ago, came out and looked really good. My initial thought was, are we sure we want him? Does he throw too hard for typically the guy that AJ Preller likes? We don't have a lot of the real high velo guys. I mean, Suarez, yes, Estrada. We're kind of gravitating towards that now, but before it's like we bring a guy up, he sits 93, 94. And I liked what I saw from him yesterday. And by all accounts, good kid, hard worker. You know, I hate to say it, but the bulldog mentality, like wants the ball, wants to go out and throw strikes. So yeah, good to see. And hopefully, you know, he showed enough that they'll keep him around.
Ultimately, you know, the Padres hit the All-Star break probably at a good time. You know, you'd rather have them playing well, but of course, if you're playing well, then that's the last time you want to take 4 days off and not play baseball. Padres are beat up. You know, this is 4 days where guys who have been playing can take some time off, try to get a little bit healthier, hopefully get a little bit closer toward the return of some of their starting pitching, including Joe Musgrove, who threw a bullpen session, is going to throw another one with, you know, full velo coming up here. It's, you know, he's not going to be back until at least August, but continues to take progressions and steps towards returning. And hopefully when the Padres do come back, they'll be at least a little bit closer to being, you know, never going to be at full health, obviously, the rest of the season. But the best way they're going to have a good second half is to get some of these key contributors back. Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to have an MRI during the All-Star break to see how his healing has gone. And if that goes well, he might start, you know, a little more on the rehab process toward returning as well. So
I'd say that would be a pretty big
add. That would be a big get in the second half of the season, regardless of what the Padres do at the trading deadline.
Where are we at again with season series against Atlanta?
They did win the season series. Okay, yeah, can talk about Saturday's game coming up. But with the just the one win, they went 4-3 against the Atlanta Braves. Did win the season series, and while you say, well, it doesn't matter if you're not in a playoff spot, they're only four and a half games behind the Braves. So,
yeah,
you know, at the end, they could end up in a tie with the Braves, and then the tie would go to the San Diego Padres if it comes down to a playoff spot or playoff seeding. So that was a check mark that the Padres got this weekend in taking the season series. And they did clinch at the very bare minimum a winning record at the All-Star break at 50.
Whew.
And 49,
it
which
just,
feels like where they should be.
Yeah, it was just too perfect. I mean, 50 and 49 was about, it just feels perfect for this team as we've covered them for every pitch this season. That's exactly how it feels that it should be. Not five games over. That's when I got really excited, when we were
at six at one point.
Six games over. I was, all right, things are looking up. Then you drop
that's
that.
That's when you started feeling like maybe this team's got it. Because
yeah, I had bought in.
For so much of this season, feels like the bar has just been to stay above 500.
Right.
That's not really the bar you want.
You can't have that, just that bar.
Like that's not the bar that World Series contenders and teams that have a hope for a deep playoff run, their goal is not to just be over 500.
It's those long 5-6 game skids.
Yet the Arizona Diamondbacks won 84 games last year. Essentially,
84.
Three wins more than 500 and ended up in the World Series.
I know.
So, yeah, I mean, that's not the goal or the bar, but sometimes it is good enough in baseball.
And that's
now.
The hope.
So just stay above 500.
They got bodied in the World Series by a much better team.
Yeah, for sure. That was more,
that belonged there.
That belonged there. I get it. I totally get it. But no, I can see, you know, I see the... They're able to sell you either way, pretty much, whatever way they're going to go. But
beauty is in the eye of the beholder. The Padres are in the eye of the beholder.
Right.
If you want to see a team that's got a shot, and if you want to see the positives of how they played well and battled and won some walk-offs and did some things they didn't do in 2023, you can see that. You can definitely see that. But if you want to see a team that's basically the same old Padres that... You know, doesn't get the job done, that has continued struggles in the pitching rotation, in the bullpen, and probably isn't going anywhere. You can see that as well.
No question.
In the San Diego Padres.
No
the question. Padres
they
are in the eye of the beholder.
They have absolutely remained just an impossible team to cover. My theory hasn't changed. It's been over a year and a half of this now. They are an impossible team to handicap. They just are. You never know. You never know what's going to happen. With this team.
Games they should win, they lose.
Yep.
Games they shouldn't win,
they win.
They win.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And for those who say, well, they're a 500 team, yeah, you're right. But the way they got there, especially over the past month and a half.
Bananas.
Streaks of such good play, followed by streaks of such bad play, and then good play, and then
good
bad
starting
play.
Pitching, bad bullpen. Bad okay. Starting pitching, great bullpen.
Hitting better than anybody in the league, hitting worse than anybody in the league.
Okay, that's a 500 team.
But why can't they just be mediocre at everything, you know, like
that,
all
that
the
would
way?
Make
like
them most 500 teams.
Yes.
It would just look different.
Yeah, 100%.
But this is the kind of 500 team that gives you the highs of highs and the lows of lows.
Right.
Easy does it. Says the good teams find ways to win when they're banged up. They've done that.
And they've absolutely done that. For a good stretch. They played their best baseball when they were banged up.
It's bananas, man. Can't make sense of it. I'm going to stop trying.
We'll come back. We can talk about the good game from the weekend. Saturday's Dylan Cease masterpiece win over the Atlanta Braves. And then we'll get into a little Take on Woods. Got a whole summer break theme for you this week on Take on Woods. Chance to win a trip to Las Vegas. All coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. Don't go away.